Today we take up another topic on how to suffer wisely, and today's topic is Cause the Silence to Speak Its Secrets. In his memoir of studying martial arts in Japan's tough Yoshinkan Dojo, Robert Twigger wrote about one great samurai warrior who had managed to live to a great old age in the heyday of samurai culture. This was no small feat under the Tokugawa regime, where even suicide was punishable by death. The old man, who had spent most of his later years recopying Buddhist scripture, was asked if he had any last words for posterity. He had fought, survived, become a scholar, learned religion, and his family asked him if he had anything to say with the last breaths of his life. "No," he told them quietly, and then he peacefully sank into silence until death took him. In the strategy of conversation, emptiness is the same as fullness. Consider this story of the samurai. He had come to many truths in his life. Those were true whether he spoke them or not. At that point in his life, he didn't have to say the things that he had learned in order to make them exist or in order to make them valid. It was enough, and he could be silent. If you look at it another way, emptiness leads to fullness just as fullness leads to emptiness. A wise person can be silent when the answer is shouting all around him. The Lord Jesus didn't answer his accusers before the Sanhedrin because it was already evident that they were lying. The room was full of the truth, as his hired accusers contradicted each other in their accounts. His emptiness, or silence, made the truth that much louder. If he had condescended to argue with his multiple and contradictory accusers, they would have seized onto his words to twist them. In other words, they would have forced him to play their game. Christ would have none of their nonsense, nor would he grant the scandal of his trial any credibility. He pointed out that he had spoken openly in public and needed no private examination. And then, at the end, he declared who he was and actually, and with gravity and somber words, pronounced sentence upon his captors. Silence is appropriate when the truth is manifest, but silence also evokes the weaker or deceptive mind to speak. In the early 1960s, when Japan's fledgling industries approached American industries to negotiate contracts, the Americans often received their Eastern counterparts without understanding them. The Americans came ready to engage in high-energy discussion, leveling demands, offering a few concessions, forthright and energetic. The Japanese negotiators might ask for tea. Then they would drink the tea. They would admire the room. They were silent and calm as though waiting. The samurai knew that learning stillness and silence is part of mastering the self and thus mastering adversaries. Eventually, the Americans became impatient and would speak first. They were reacting to a need to get down to business and appear in control. In American fashion, highly organized and assertive, they laid out their plans, goals, agendas, and offerings. The Japanese negotiators said little, chose their words carefully, and asked very few questions. They asked so few questions that the Americans would start telling them answers to questions they had not yet asked. For the Americans were trying to anticipate the thoughts of their counterparts. The Americans actually ran the meetings, or so they thought, and they seemed to be in control. But the Japanese got the lion's share of the information, learning where the Americans would give ground and where they would not. They learned how the Americans did business, their blind spots in their strategies, their weaknesses, all simply by remaining silent and calm. And so once they knew the minds of the men across the table, the Japanese negotiators bargained for numerous concessions. American businessmen, at least at first, played right into their hands and revealed their minds too quickly. The silence of the Japanese negotiators evoked speech from the anxious, aggressive, impatient Americans. In moments of great fullness, we are silent. The fullness is enough so that we can be empty. Have this mindset in the presence of aggressors or cruel people. Silence on your part can evoke speech from another person and cause that person to reveal his or her mind, goals, agendas, plans, even secrets. Indeed, the more proud a person is and the more flattery he or she craves, the easier it is to evoke speech from the person by remaining still and saying little. Vain, egotistical people like to hear themselves talk, Let them talk. Most of their talk is nonsense, but every now and then they will inadvertently tell you something they plan to do. And silence on your part hides your mind from others. Promising revenge or even justice when somebody wrongs you simply tells the other side what you're going to do next. So much better to simply do it rather than talk about it. And speaking rashly can force a person to have to act, even if the person realizes that the time is not right for acting. Calm silence is the evidence of a composed, stable mind and a fearless heart. And in the midst of suffering, you do want to be perceived as having composure and courage. Silence can buy you time, for a person who strikes at you or hurts you looks for evidence of having succeeded. But if you provide no evidence, if you remain calm and silent, the aggressor doesn't always know the next best step to take.